Thompson.
Kia ora and welcome to Property Matters. Tonight we chat with two young adults working in real estate, here to give advice to young people about renting for the first time and what mistakes to avoid. Get the tips from the letting agents themselves. Plus understand the process from sign up through to first inspection and what to expect. Remember, you can download our podcast anytime from barfoot.co.nz/property matters or listen anytime here on planetaudio.org.nz. Welcome to Property Matters. Welcome along to another Monday afternoon. The year's flying by. We're now in August. I'm Stephen Dello. Delighted to have you tuned into our show. Now make sure you follow us on Facebook, which you can find us at Property Matters Radio. And this is very much your show, so we do encourage you to email us at any point at propertymatters@barfoot.co.nz. Now joining me in the studio today is two wonderful young gentlemen from Barfoot & Thompson. We have Chris Baxter from their Ipsum branch. Good afternoon, Chris.
Good afternoon, Stephen. Thank you very much for having me on air.
Great to have you here. And Troy Manson-Cassidy from the Green Lane team. Welcome.
Hey, Stephen. Cheers for having me here today.
Great to have you here. I think you're both probably some of the youngest in the property management teams. Would I be right?
I'd say you're probably right there, yes.
Probably right. So hopefully you've got some good advice this afternoon for our younger listeners on the show when it comes to renting. But first of all, Chris, tell us a little bit about yourself and your role.
Yep. So I'm 19. I'm a letting specialist at Barfoot & Thompson Epsom branch. So what that means is I rent out all of the properties that come on with our branch to the property managers. I take those properties, I rent them out, find tenants, and then hand them back to the property managers after that.
Sounds like a busy role.
It usually is, Stephen, that's right.
How many have you got for let at the moment?
So I've got about 30 at the moment on the books, so that's 30 properties that I'm looking after trying to find tenants for.
Cool, that'll keep you out of mischief.
Definitely.
And Troy, what about you? Tell us a little bit about yourself and your role.
Yeah, well, Stephen, the year has flown by, like you said, and my 3 months has flown by just as fast. I love my role. I'm 21, so I'm older than Chris by just a few years, but I'm a letting specialist, same as Chris, and, you know, my role implies a bit of property assistance and letting as well. So I'll find tenants for these properties, take them through the viewings and bring them there, do the application process, you know, vet out which tenant's better than the other, and yeah.
Brilliant. And was real estate something you were always interested in?
Yeah, definitely. It's run through the veins. It's something that, you know, me and my family have always wanted me to do. And as a kid, I remember I used to go to my nan's, sale meetings and her open homes. And I used to be really excited. And I'm happy that I can sit in this seat today and be a part of it all.
Nice. So your nan was a salesperson?
Yeah.
Cool. That's really cool to have it running through the family. What about you, Chris? Real estate in your blood?
No, unfortunately not for me. It all started sort of late high school years. I just became really interested in selling things, and I thought, well, why not sell or get into the industry that sells the biggest and the best? So that's how I got into real estate, and that's where my journey started.
I like that. High school, I got into selling things.
Anyway, what were you selling?
Yeah, this could go horribly wrong. Right, why property management?
Property management was a great starting point for me. Mostly because it was commission as well as fixed salary. And that's a big thing as opposed to the sales, which is just commission. The team support with having all these other property managers that you're working with day to day, that's really helpful as well, rather than just working by yourself.
Cool.
Yeah.
Brilliant. And what do you love most about your job?
What I love most about my job is what it's been able to teach me, and that is a big thing about organisation. So I've been getting some really good organisational skills from my role. Time management is another big one, and presentation skills. You always have to look like you're working for a good company, because you are. And the most important thing for me was attention to detail. And that's because you're dealing with legal properties and all these tenants that you've got to make sure are going to be good tenants. So, yeah, that's definitely a big thing.
Yeah, cool. Mm. Troy, what are you loving about your job? Only 3 months in, what do you enjoy most?
I think, for me, I remember actually in my first month, I had a viewing in a property in Mount Albert, and I met this man there, right? And we had this conversation, and it was just for a viewing, and it was only meant to last 15 minutes. But that conversation led into a relationship, obviously not personal, a business relationship that, you know, can progress further and further. And that's what I love about this role.
Yeah, it is. It's all about relationship building.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you'll be doing a viewing for one property and there'll be someone walking down the street. They'll say, oh, hey, what's all these people here for today? And you'll say, oh, this and that. And, you know, that's just the things that happen in this role. You'll meet people every single day at every property you go to, and you interact with these people differently. Mm. No person's the same. And that's the skills we're building.
Mm.
Conversation skills, communication skills, the best skills you can have.
That's cool. Chris, what's a typical day look like for you?
I'm getting into the office at about 8:30. I'm in the morning. What I'm doing is I'm sending out notifications to tenants to let them know we're going to be coming through the next day, and following up on all applications that have come in overnight for properties, people who are wanting to rent properties. I then head out to all my viewings. I have up to about 10 viewings a day. So that's 10 different properties that I need to show around. And after that, I'm back in the office and just working on those applications again. And I'm signing tenancy agreements with new tenants.
Cool. So a nice mix of variety there too, in and out of the office.
That's right. It's definitely not just a desk job,
no.
which I wouldn't be able to do.
So, Troy, when it comes to real estate, why do you think this is a good career path for someone young like you guys?
I think, you know, people our age, no one I know in my friend group and people that around me that are the same age has bad conversation skills and can communicate well with people. We're energetic, we're enthusiastic, we want to be the best. Like he said, you know, the best selling industry to be in is property. The roof is never ending and there is no ceiling. And the same goes with property management. So for young people, we can build relationships well, and people, you know, they do trust young people. If you have the smiley young man that comes and greets you and meets all these different people that's enthusiastic and energetic, you're going to grow a liking to that person. Mm. And that's how I think everyone should be in this industry. So, yeah.
No, it sounds like it suits you perfectly.
Oh, I hope so.
Hope so. So if we focus now on the letting process, and look, let's aim this at our younger audience members who might be trying to rent for the first time. What advice do you have for them before they even rock up to the first viewing of a property? What are they needing to think about before that stage?
I think I'll draw it back to what Chris said earlier. Presentation is huge. You know, I've had a few people that will come to these viewings looking quite shabby, and it is a first impression that matters the most with every relationship you ever have. First impression is always the most important. So I think presentation is number one, and for me, number two is approaching the person doing that viewing, introducing yourself, you know, saying what you're about, why you're here, and what you're looking for, and opening that conversation. Obviously, that's my job, but when I've got 10 people coming through, it's really lovely when someone comes up to me and wants to talk to me like that. Mm. And so I remember those things, and that's what I would recommend to young people, to do that.
Cool. Chris, is there anything else that you think they need to do before they come to that viewing?
Yep. Troy covered most of what I was going to say. I think your
that first impression
are very,
yep,
very valid. Presentation is key. The other thing I'd add is to be on time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a huge thing that really counts. And, you know, that is a good impression on the for the agent.
It's a bit like a job interview, isn't it?
Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
You want to dress well, you want to be on time, you want to communicate well,
yeah,
be presentable.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I'd say you're right there, yeah.
Not a time to turn up with the old beat-up Holden that's backfiring in the front yard.
Yes, that wouldn't be ideal, would it?
With the cat in the back doing that. Okay.
The other thing I'd add is as Troy was saying, don't be afraid to talk to the agent. Mm. The person in the corner who keeps themselves is not going to get remembered or noticed. Mm. Yeah, definitely don't be afraid. Come up, say hi. We're friendly. We don't bite.
And you're right there. I mean, I guess, you know, if there's a large number of people coming through, you're coming back and processing application. It's who sticks in your mind as someone that you're going to work with, because it's all about the relationships. You and your team have then got to keep that relationship going.
Definitely.
Yeah. When you go and view a home, what sort of things do you think people should be looking for inside or outside the home? I'll start with you, Chris.
Cool. So a big one at the moment, of course, is the home Healthy Homes compliant? And properties from now, if you're moving into a property, they will need to be. If not when you're moving in, shortly after you move in. So that's a big one. Just make sure it's got that heat pump that all the tenants are looking for these days. The other thing is, does the home get sun? Is it in a good position for sun? That's a big thing. If you move into a property and the sun just never hits it, you're going to be a bit disappointed. So definitely look for that when you go and have a look at the home.
Cool. Troy, what are you looking for when you're giving advice to someone coming in for the first time to look at a property?
Chris had he had it head on, you know, with the Healthy Homes Act. It's upheaval. It's, you know, cause a big distress in the rental industry because we've got to get everything compliant. You know, I would look for, personally, storage. I've got a property in LZ at the moment that, you know, at first glance, it's nothing impressive. But then you go into the storage and there's a huge amount of storage there.
Right.
And that's brought how many people through to this property? That's the main reason why many people are wanting to apply. So I think storage is a massive thing. Also carpet, you know, a nice carpet, a new carpet, presentation with the walls not being marked and stuff like that. Nice and painted walls, and probably a new kitchen as well. Quite a lot. I mean, that's me, but I think that's the biggest things that we see.
I guess, too, it's about making sure the size suits the people. If it's young people, perhaps flatting, is there enough room? Is there an extra bathroom if it's a group of flatmates? So being sensible about that decision as well?
Yep, definitely.
And not wasting your time or theirs going to, you know, a two-bedroom plus study when you've got five flatmates.
Exactly.
You're not likely to put them in. As a letting agent, Chris, can you talk me through the application process? So as a young person, what do they need to prepare and provide, and what's your advice on completing a good application?
Cool. So to start, what they're going to need to have to apply immediately is a form of ID. So that's a driver's license, passport, or birth certificate. They'll need a payslip as well. That's from work. If you don't have a payslip, say you're not employed currently, you can use some other form of proof of finance for the property. So anything you have there. You're going to need to give us some references as well. So that's for your current employment, if you are employed. Your current property manager or landlord that you're staying with, if you have one, as well as character references, who will be able to vouch for you. A tip that I can give the younger audiences is ensure you block out enough time to complete the application. Mm. It is quite an extensive application, and it's for a good reason. So do make sure that you do have enough time to really go through it. Make sure you fill out everything properly. As Stephen said before, it's kind of like a job interview. Mm. So you want to do the best you can do.
And I guess if you're renting with flatmates, it's making sure the whole team's ready to fill out that paperwork.
Yeah,
yeah. Definitely. There's no point one person doing their bit and then it stops.
Exactly.
So having that team ready. With the law changes recently, obviously photo IDs is key for getting credit checks and those sort of things done. So the 18 plus card is a good measure if someone doesn't have a driver's license. That's
very
true.
Yep, that's another valid form of ID.
Or passports.
Passports as well, yeah.
Brilliant. Anything you would add to that, Troy, around the application process?
Yeah, I think something that I've noticed quite regularly with younger people is, like you said, they'll be going in a flatmating scenario. You've got five applicants and three or four fill them out.
Mm.
So that really delays it. I think promptness is a huge thing. If I've got a property and I've got five applicants and I had one, you know, that day fully done.
They're going to jump the queue.
Yeah, I'm going to shine a light on that because they're the first people I got. And so being very prompt with, organized, getting everyone together to sit down and do it, it takes no more than 5 minutes, you know. Mm. It's not that long. We can even do it with them sometimes after the viewing if they ask. And, yeah, so that's what I recommend, promptness. Sure.
Who makes a good referee? You know, you mentioned the references, Chris. If they haven't rented yet, who do they put down? Because I'm guessing if they put mum and dad, hopefully they're going to get a good reference. So who's useful for you?
Who would be the most useful if you don't have a current landlord would be someone that knows you well, possibly a family friend, but the most important thing is they work for a reputable company, and that gives us a bit of peace of mind knowing that the reference is reliable because it's coming from a trusted company, and that person's coming from there. So previous employers are great, colleagues are great, or family friends are really good ones that work for reliable companies. Mm. Yeah,
mm. I used to be a teacher and used to get lots of senior students, you know, ask, can I put you down? Cause going, and I think teachers, if they've had a strong working relationship with their students, could be possibilities.
Teachers would be great. Yeah, that's great.
If they're renting with flatmates rather than partners or on their own, what things do they need to think about as a team of flatmates? What other risks or pitfalls do they have, or perhaps advantages?
Well, I was dealing with this today, actually. We had a group. We would recommend that they go onto tenancy services and find the document that is for flatmating. It's a legal binding agreement, so that if one of the flatmates decides that they want to call it quits, they don't just take all of their bond and they could leave excessive damage to the property. And that's a risk you take when you're finding people you're not familiar with to take one of the rooms and share that part of the rent. So we recommend, you know, you trust this person that you're going to bring into the house with yourself and your friends, and also that you make sure that they sign the agreement that's on tenancy services that, you know, has that legal defence if need be.
Okay. Chris, what would you say about flatmates, pitfalls and advantages?
Definitely a good point there, Troy. I would say that you'd want to be doing a background check on them as much as you can, like we would on tenants who are applying for properties. We think that you should also do that on tenants that you may be wanting to stay with, flatmates. Mm. So if you are, you know, if there are damages at the end of the tenancy, or if there's heaps of cleaning to be done, and you've done your part, but they haven't, you're going to also be liable for that. Mm. So you're going to really want to make sure that you are staying with the right people. Advantages, of course, with flatting is it's going to be a lower cost than renting on your own.
Yeah,
so, of course, there are heaps of pros with that, and that's why it's so popular. However, just make sure you're doing your due diligence.
Mm. Now, if there's multiple flatmates and they've all put their names in on the tenancy agreement, what happens when one of them leaves?
When one of them leaves, they will need to contact their property manager, and they'll need to make sure that it's okay with the landlord. The landlord does have the say there.
So it is ending that agreement technically, or it could?
It could. However, if the landlord does agree, then you could replace that tenant with another one that you might have in mind. Mm. So you have to be sure that the tenants you're going with, they're not going to be just popping in and popping out.
Yeah.
You want to make sure they're there.
Getting that choice right at the beginning is so important, isn't it? If successful, how much money does someone need to come up with before they move in? So if you give me a ring and say, great news, Stephen, you can move into this wonderful new apartment in the city, how much am I needing to come up with?
All right, Stephen, so you're looking at an $1,000 apartment, $1,000 a week.
Yeah, sure, let's go with that.
And first, you'll need to pay a deposit, which is 1 week's rent, so that's $1,000. And then before you move into the property, before you pick up your keys, you'll have to pay a bond. And that is going to be four times the rent, so that's $4,000. So in total, Stephen, if you're wanting to rent a $1,000 property, it's going to be $5,000 you'll have to come up with.
And what other things will I need to think about before I sign that agreement? So obviously a deposit, the bond, anything else?
Yep, you want to make sure that that you've got some companies to help you move, that you have, of course, signed the agreement and are happy with everything. Yeah.
And I guess locking that date correctly too. You just mentioned, you know, companies ready to move. You're going to start paying rent the moment you're in there, so making sure you're making all those right decisions at the start. How does a bond work? Do you keep it at your company? Does the landlord keep it? How does that work?
Cool. So as soon as you pay the bond, you'll be paying it to us. When you come and sign up a property with us, we'll get you to sign a bond lodgement form. So with that bond lodgement form, and once you've paid the bond to us, we'll lodge it to MBIE. And they will hold it where neither party can touch it until the end of the tenancy.
Great. And if there's any dispute or anything around that, that's something that they can talk to tenancy services as well on?
Definitely they can. And they can also talk to their property manager if they do have any questions on that. And between the two, we'll be able to sort it out.
Before they move in, you as agents or one of your team will complete an entry inspection. Can a tenant have a copy of that? Because that's a pretty important document, isn't it?
Yes, definitely. The condition report, you've got to get it back to us within the next 5 days. I believe it says 2 weeks.
That's normal. Right. That sounds about right.
Yeah.
But the sooner the better.
Sooner
it
the
stops
better,
the
definitely.
Arguments. Yeah. And photos, they have access to that first set of photos?
What we do is we provide them with an entry inspection report upon when a tenant comes and picks up their keys. And we let them know they can go through it, make sure the current condition of the property is how it is on the paper we've given them. If they do have any changes, they can edit it and just send it back to us. We don't provide photos. We can if they'd like us to, but we do have a full record of photos on file anyways.
If a tenant's dealing with a private landlord, so not a company like yourselves, would you advise that they take their own entry photos to have a digital record the set before they move the furniture in?
Definitely.
Yeah, it's kind of like their safety insurance, isn't it?
For sure. And especially if that landlord doesn't hold themselves accountable. You know, they've got their own things to look after. They'll definitely be taking those photos.
And these days, everything in your phone's date and time stamped to protect you.
Yeah.
Is there anything else from either of you that you think they need to know from their application to move-in day? So after the break, we'll talk about post-move-in, but that first bit, anything else? Or have we covered it all?
Sounds like we've covered most of it, Stephen. I'm happy.
You're happy? All right, we're going to head to a music break now. And I asked these guys to send me their favourite pieces of music. Now, Chris's was over 7 minutes long, so we'll see how we go to play that towards the end of the show. But, Troy, you're taking us back. Planet FM listeners will love you. What song did you ask us to play?
Bob Seger's Old Time Rock and Roll.
Why is that a favourite?
No, it gets you in the groove.
Get you in the groove on your drive home on a Monday afternoon in traffic. Here's a bit of Old Time Rock and Roll. Good old Bob Seger's old-time rock and roll, Troy, taking us for a little bit of a trip down memory lane. Now, if you have something you or your company would like to share with investors, landlords or tenants, do get in touch by emailing us at propertymatters@barfoot.co.nz. We would love to have you on the show. Now, here at Planet FM, we have a fundraising drive on and we need your help. We're based on the grounds of Unitech on Carrington Road, and with the massive housing development, good letting for you guys shortly, about to start, we have to look for a new home, and we're so excited to be purchasing a place next to our neighbours at Barfoot and Thompson, Mount Albert. Now, thanks to wonderful funding support, we were able to purchase our new space, but we do need your help with the fit-out. Planet FM will set up with five other fantastic not-for-profit organisations joining them, including the Red Cross, Aotearoa Resettled Community Coalition, Belong Aotearoa, Asylum Seekers Support Trust, and the Refugee Health and Wellbeing Trust. So if you can help Planet FM with the fit out, please head to planetfm.org.nz/donate. We would love your support. Now, I'm joined today by Chris and Troy, two wonderful property management ambassadors at Barfoot and Thompson, some of the youngest staff, I suspect, but forging their way into their careers. Now, Chris, I want you to imagine now that our young people that we've talked about have now moved into their property. So they've got their entry inspection, they remembered to book the truck, they've probably sorted the internet before they sorted anything else, and they've moved on in. Tell us now, how often can a landlord or a property manager inspect the property? How often are they going to see someone?
Our property managers, they will come in 1 month after you move in. That's called the initial inspection. And then inspection is just for you guys to report anything that has gone wrong in the first 1 month. Hopefully that's nothing. But if there is anything, that's the time to let your property manager know. After that, the inspections will be 3 monthly. So you can expect to get a little bit of notice before those inspections, but expect them 3 monthly.
Cool. And you're taking photos at these inspections? Yeah. Cool. And I guess that's to cover for insurance purposes and to prove that the team have been through the property. So it's important, I guess, that young people get used to that too. It is a chance for photos to be taken and a chance to show the owners that you're looking after the property. Troy, can a landlord turn up any time without giving notice?
Definitely not, no.
No? So what sort of notice do they need to give?
We, as the landlords, we need to give 48 hours notice before we ever enter the premise of a tenant's property. Even then, the tenant can still deny access upon further reasons, but 48 hours minimum is required before you can come to a property, unless of an emergency.
So I guess, depending on the reason for you coming through, what should a tenant do if they have a maintenance issue that needs addressing?
The tenant, if it's a pipe falling through the ceiling or your roof is collapsed, you need to get a hold of us straight away. Give us a call, your property manager a call, and report the maintenance, and that property manager will contact one of our licensed contractors that we can trust to go and get that job done, patch it up, or if it's just a simple little issue, we'll definitely issue a maintenance order.
I guess, being young, some people will be nervous about ringing in and asking for maintenance to be done, but you're in Auckland, you're paying top dollar for rental properties. You need to feel comfortable to request things are working. Is that right?
Yes, definitely. You should know that you do have the rights to do so. And if you don't feel comfortable making a phone call, there's always email.
Look, what advice do you have to tenants to keep a good ongoing relationship with your landlord? The landlord being either you as agents or a private landlord.
I guess it's the simple little things. Pay your rent on time. Have a good manner when you're meeting with this person. Cooperate. If we send an email, we'd hope for a reply as soon as you possibly can. No rush. Be friendly. I mean, we're not here to breathe down your neck and make life hard for you guys. We're your property managers. We're here to actually make it easier. Mm. Be friendly. I mean, a lot of the property managers in my branch know these people. They come up and they give them hugs when they go to these viewings. Nice. And that's what the goal is. Yeah. We don't want to show up and it's a tense affair, like it's an interview time we see. Obviously, we want good impressions, but no, the main thing is be friendly.
Any other advice from you, Chris?
Cool, yeah. Definitely keep your property clean and tidy. especially before inspections. That's a big one. We do appreciate when it is all clean and tidy, and the owner definitely does when we send their report to them. And report any maintenance that needs doing at your property. Report it as soon as it happens so that we know and we can get it all sorted. It is one of your duties as a tenant to do so, and we'd love to get it sorted so you don't have to deal with it anyways.
Cool. That relationship stuff, I mean, we've mentioned it several times. I mean, I remember when I was renting in my 20s and I had such a good relationship with my property manager. I used to get a text saying, put the jug on, there in half an hour, milk, one sugar, and we'd sit and have a coffee first. And it was really nice. Because then you don't feel that invasion of somebody coming in and taking photos. It was like your friend was popping around and while I'm here, I'm going to check everything's okay. So it is possible to build that really good relationship from the start. Chris, if they're on a fixed term and they need to request to break the tenancy for whatever reason, what advice do you have?
Cool. So we will need to know the reason of why you will be breaking that lease. And depending on what reason it is, you will be able to break the lease for a couple certain scenarios. As long as the landlord is not penalised financially, for example, the loss of rent and costs when you break the lease, then you are able to break the lease under Section 66 if it does apply to that. If you wanted to break the lease with a reason that doesn't go under Section 66, you would have to pay $700 plus GST. That's the letting fee. And you'll need to keep paying rent until we find a new tenant. So it is up to the landlord whether they do agree to this. However, that's something that we offer at Barford and Thompson that we can talk to the landlord about.
And that fee's like a break lease fee, isn't it? To cover the cost
that's
of
right.
having to re-let that property.
Yeah.
Cool. What about, Troy, a periodic tenancy? How much notice do they need to give to vacate?
So the new legislation, as you know, from February this year, it used to be 21, but now it's 28 days. So you just need to make sure that you've given 28 days pre-warning that you wish to vacate the property on a periodic tenancy.
And young people, do it in writing. Cover your back.
Definitely.
What should they prepare before vacating the property so they get their bond back?
I think we really did cover this in regards to if you're going to prepare documents you want to make sure that you can provide a condition report back to your portfolio manager. And that is the state of which you've left the property in when you've exited, showing that, it's clean, it's tidy, there's no damages you've left there.
So thinking about that, making sure it is clean and tidy.
Definitely.
Don't book your movers for 4 o'clock in the afternoon when your keys are due back at 5 and there's no time to clean. What would you say, any other tips and tricks for that end process?
Yes, so we do provide a vacating tenant cleaning checklist, and that is really helpful for you to go over every aspect of the property, make sure you are cleaning it to our standard. We actually also have a video on that, which we'll share a link to if you are going to be vacating, so you can get a cleaner of your own in to clean the property, or you can do it yourself. We'd also really recommend to commercially clean the carpets, especially if it was done for you when you did move into the property.
I like that too. And so when you're talking young people, perhaps flatting, etc., put that little bit of money aside so you can get it all cleaned professionally. It's one less stress for you and you're more likely to get your bond back. Who does a tenant go to, though, if they do have a dispute or disagreement with either you as a property manager or their private landlord at the end of this process?
Sure. So they can go to Tenancy Services and they can lodge a dispute with them. They will let you know the best way to deal with it, if it has to go to Small Claims Tenancy Tribunal, or if it can be resolved in another way.
How long is it taking to get a bond back these days?
It usually takes around 20 days. It could take sooner, but that's what we're finding at the moment. You could get only part of your bond back. That is if we find anything that needs to be taken from your bond. So do make sure, again, that you do clean the property to a good standard. Make sure if there are any damages, you'd already let us know about them or you'd had them repaired, and that would ensure your bond comes back.
And if I understand correctly, if there's a dispute over a specific part of the bond, say a $200 repair on something, they can get the rest of their bond back and hold that in dispute till tenancy services gets involved.
Yeah, that's right.
Cool. Any final tips or tricks for young renters?
I really like that carpet, what he mentioned about the carpet. You know, it's a good gesture if you were to send a, you know, commercial carpet cleaner through. That's leaving on a high note. I also think there's been one instance, and I think it would, you know, be really cool if it was a recurring thing. If tenants left notes for the inspector, like little things like notes and chocolate and stuff, and that's what, you know, well, even property managers can do that.
Yeah.
And we'll just do that back. It's cool. It even if you're not seeing them, you're building a relationship. So
nice.
I think, yeah, the biggest thing we should take with young tenants is building relationships, because those relationships are going to help you later on in life.
Absolutely. Now, Chris, we've only got just over a minute. I'm going to play your song in the background as I ask you these last questions. What was the song you asked us to play?
That was Ernie by Fat Freddy's Drop.
Why do you like that?
There's lots of different parts of the song I like, Stephen, but they're all different, so each one gets me in a different mood.
So what about a career in real estate for you, Chris? Where do you see yourself, or if someone is listening thinking they'd like to have a job like yours, what advice do you give them?
My best advice would be to go out there, go to open homes. This is what I did, Stephen. Head out to open homes, meet the real estate agents, meet the people around the property industry, and many things will come from it. That's how I got my job. I was referred from one agent to the other, and finally, I got exactly what I was looking for.
Awesome.
That's really neat.
Yeah, you're both wonderful young gentlemen. So great to have you in the studio today. Where are we going to find you in 10 years' time? Troy, 10 years' time, where will you be?
Well, you're going to hear a lot of my voice, hopefully, and I want to be one of the best in the business. That's my goal.
Brilliant. Staying in real estate?
Definitely.
Cool. Chris?
That's right, me too. I will be in sales. You'll be able to find me, and hopefully we can get in touch.
Yeah, fantastic. Hey, thanks so much. If you want to get in touch with these guys, check out buffett.co.nz/Green Lane for Troy, or /Epsom for Chris. Thanks so much for giving up your Monday afternoon. Good luck in your traffic home.
Thank you very much, Stephen.
And remember, you can download our podcast at buffett.co.nz/property matters. And if you have something you would like to share on the show or find out about, flick us an email to propertymatters@buffett.co.nz. Next week, we're welcoming back Jamie James, who joined us just a few weeks ago to continue the discussion around the financial roadmap and insurance. And we're so lucky to have Tapari Hewitt back in the studio with her. They're going to do a double act talking about mortgages and finance. It will be an episode not to miss. Catch you next week. Have a wonderful week. Stay safe on the roads.